Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Today, we're going to continue to talk about Paul, a minister of the gospel, a minister of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the way that he introduces himself in Colossians 1:25, and in doing so tells us some of the elements that comprise his ministry. It tells us what it means for Paul to be a minister of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, what that involves, what it involved for him, and indeed what it will involve for others as well. So it's a very instructive section. Now, you recall that the preceding verse, verse 24, began a section where Paul gets very personal with the Colossian church as he is introducing himself to a church to whom he was not known. And that personal section runs from verse 24 of chapter 1 through verse 5 of chapter 2. And the first part, verses 24 through 29, is one long sentence. So when we read verse 25, which is the text we're looking at right now, it's breaking into the middle of the sentence. Verse 25 says, "Of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." And it's obvious in reading that there's something missing, and what's missing is the link to verse 24, which makes sense out of what is said at the beginning of verse 25. And that's because this is all one long, long sentence in the Greek language. But it's clear in looking just at verse 25, our text for today, that Paul is talking about becoming a minister according to the stewardship from God. God made Paul a minister. And we rejoice in that, and we intend to learn from that. And to that end, we gather together around the Word of God on this Friday, February 26, and we can only do this because some of you, our radio listeners, help us with the financial costs. Thank you so very, very much. Well, what does it mean for Paul to be a minister of the church? And it is the church that he's talking about here, and that's what links it back to verse 24. He talks about his sufferings for the Colossians and filling up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church of which I became a minister. So there's the link. The church of which I became a minister. So Paul is talking about being a minister of the church. And what does this involve? Well, it involves service. He is a servant. How do I know that? Because the word translated minister is diakonos. You say, where does that come from? I think I've heard that before. What is that? Diakonos. That's the word that is sometimes translated deacon. He could have said here, or could have been translated here, of which I became a deacon, according to the stewardship from God. But if we had talked about Paul becoming a deacon of the church, that would have been highly misleading. And what we need to understand is that where the word diakonos is employed in the New Testament, it does not always refer to the office of deacon. And in Paul's case, it clearly does not. He was not a deacon in the official sense, but he was a deacon in the foundational sense of that word, because deacon means servant. And that's good to remember. I may be talking to some deacons right now who have been invested with the position, the office of deacon in your local church. And I say, good for you. Congratulations. That should indicate, I trust it does indicate, a high level of Christian commitment on your part and a high level of trust on the part of your church to place you in that office. But please don't forget what this office is. It is an office of service. Deacons were servants, servants of Christ, servants of the church, and servants of the apostles of the church, as they were first inaugurated in Acts chapter 6. Servants. And from that standpoint, there's not a lot of glory in that position, at least as the world looks at it. And yet, when you think about it, that's where real glory comes from, is from serving. Jesus Christ came to be a servant. He said, I came not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many. And he taught us that the way to be honored is to humble yourself and become a servant. The one who is the greatest among you, he said to his apostles, if you want to be great, whoever wants to be great among you, let him become the servant of all. In God's kingdom, being a servant is the highest position. So this is a good word, and the office of deacon is defined by that word, service. And as you remember, the servants, the deacons in Acts chapter 6, were appointed to oversee the serving of the widow's tables. You can't get any much more servanthood than that. Now, some people think that they actually got down there, I don't know where it was that this went on, but they actually went to the places where the widows were fed, which probably was a number of locations, because remember, the church at Jerusalem didn't own their own building. When they assembled together with the full congregation, they apparently did it in the vast temple courtyard, making use of some of the large porticos like Solomon's porch. But even that wouldn't have been large enough for a gathering as big as the church at Jerusalem, so some could have been undercover and others would have been out in the open courtyard. But they didn't own a building, and they had multiple small gatherings in various houses around Jerusalem. So where did they feed the widows? Well, they weren't feeding them in the church fellowship hall, in the church basement. They weren't feeding them out of the church kitchen, because there were none of these things. We don't know where they were feeding them. They had some kind of a feeding program, some kind of a place where widows were fed, which is referred to in Acts chapter 6 as the widow's tables. And some think that the deacons actually were the ones who served the tables. In other words, they were waiters. That's not really the understanding that I draw from that passage. It seems to me like they were tasked with the responsibility to oversee the operation. Whatever was involved in food preparation and distribution, it was not being done equitably. The apostles weren't doing that. They weren't preparing food and distributing food, but they were responsible to make sure that it was being done equitably. And because of their busyness and other things, they were not supervising it carefully enough. And that was the complaint in Acts chapter 6. The Greek widows were complaining that the Hebrew widows were getting a larger share of the distribution. And this was a legitimate complaint, evidently. There's no indication in that passage that the Greek widows just had a covetous spirit and a complaining attitude, and that their complaints were not justified. No, from the evidence of what takes place in Acts chapter 6, their complaints were justified. That is what was happening. And the apostles who served as the pastors of the church took full responsibility for it, but brethren, if we take the time to oversee this as closely as it evidently needs in order to be done properly, if we're going to go down there and hover over the kitchens, if we're going to go wherever this is going on and put our eyes on the distribution of the food and make sure that everything's being done equitably, that's going to take a lot of time away from the ministry of the Word. Gentlemen, brethren, men and brethren, it would be far more suitable if we would select 7 men who are qualified, 7 men who are full of the Holy Spirit, who can oversee this business so that we can give ourselves continually to the Word of God in prayer. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose 7 men who are named in Acts chapter 6, and that's the beginning of the office of deacon. And I take it, therefore, that deacons are something like a middle management layer of administration in the operation of the church. That's what I take away from that passage. And I don't see anything anywhere else that would indicate otherwise. The elders, the apostles, and after them the elders, when the apostles no longer were on the scene, the elders are responsible for the overall administration of the church, but they can't do everything. They can't be closely involved in everything if they're going to devote themselves to the most important thing, which is the public ministry of God's Word. So they need other people, and they need a lot of other people. A lot of other people. And it's not just deacons who are doing other tasks in the church, but they need a lot of other people. But they need some mature, responsible men who can help them manage everything that's going on. It's a daunting task. It really is. I'm so grateful for the way the Lord has directed us in the administrative program, the administrative pattern that we have followed in our church over these many years, and for the faithful deacons that we have who serve so faithfully, so sacrificially in our church. And basically, they oversee everything in the church. They don't do everything, but they oversee everything. They all have areas of responsibility, and they oversee virtually everything in the church and report to the pastors, the elders. So we know what's going on, though not in as much detail as they do, but they're keeping their eyes and ears and hands on just about everything in the church. In some cases, they're just touching bases occasionally with people who are doing certain jobs, who are fulfilling their jobs faithfully and well and don't need close supervision, but they still get up with them from time to time, talk to them, get a report from them, make sure everything's going well, and then they report to us. They actually report at a meeting we have monthly with all the pastors and deacons. And this works wonderfully well. And that's what's involved in the office of deacon, but Paul was a deacon, not in the official sense, but in the serving sense. That's what he says. Of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which I became a minister, became a deacon, became a servant. Paul is a servant. And we need to understand what a minister is. Paul was not a deacon. If you talk about the office of deacon, Paul was an apostle. Paul was a missionary. But Paul was a minister. Paul was a servant of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how important it is that we understand what that means. And this text will help us to understand it. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.